are on item number, section number three, item number seven. Dr. James, go ahead.
All right, so we are discussing the informal continuance for case 2438. And since the last meeting, we did have some additional information provided, and I think I have taken that into account. So I just want to document that, did everybody else see that and make sure that it's been reviewed? All right, so at this point, I would make a motion that we adopt the findings of fact as written in the draft order. I'll do this separately. So this motion is just on the findings of fact.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
Second? Okay. Motion and a second for the findings of fact. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
And then I would make a motion that we adopt the conclusions of law as drafted for ARS 3222212 as it relates to R2 and 5011 for failure to provide professionally acceptable procedures, and then 3222321 as it relates to R3 for failure for a veterinarian to examine the animal prior to vaccination.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
There's one more.
And 3222321 as it relates to R3 for failure for a veterinarian to provide a tentative or definitive diagnosis for animals receiving treatment.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to set the conclusions of law. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
So at this point, I'd like to ask about fires and fires.
Madam Chair, members of the board, there are a few. So in 2004, there was a case that resulted in a record violations. Her license was placed on probation for 1 year. She was required to complete 8 hours of CE and pay a $250 civil penalty. In 2004, she was issued a letter of concern related to communications. In 2009, there was a case with the violations related to inappropriate dose of medication and altering of records. Her license was placed on probation for 1 year with 8 hours of CE, a $1,500 civil penalty. And 2009, another case, various violations of premises and records violations. Her license was placed on probation for 2 years, $1,500 civil penalty and 4 hours of CE. In 2009, there was another case related to failure to comply with a previous order. The probation was extended. In 2012, she was found in violation of gross incompetence for practicing under the influence of alcohol, knowingly signing a false affidavit, and not notifying the board within 10 days of a charge. Her license was placed on probation for 4 years. She was required to undergo a substance abuse evaluation, 4 years of monitoring by a healthcare professional, and relapse prevention evaluation. In 2012, she had a letter of concern related to communication and lack of documentation of communication. In 2012, there was another case related to failure to sufficiently relay results of blood work to the client. Her license was placed on probation for 1 year. She was required to complete 8 hours of CE and client communication with a $1,000 civil penalty. In 2012, there was another case, related, 5011. Let's see what the findings were. Related to failure to adhere to professionally acceptable procedures with respect to writing prescriptions, and authorizing refills and refilling prescriptions that were not medically appropriate quantities. Her license was placed on probation for 1 year with 4 hours of CE and prescribing and dispensing medication with an emphasis in controlled substances and a $1,000 civil penalty. And way back in 1998, there was one for violation of access to controlled drugs and drug logs, and her license was censured. That's it.
Thank you. I would like some feedback on this. I'm going to make the motion and then maybe discuss a little bit. I'll make a motion to issue Dr. Wood an order to put a period of probation for 1 year to obtain 8 hours of CE, 3 hours in veterinary ethics, 3 hours in legal statutes slash rules, two in medical records slash communication. And as part of that, I would also like to have a review of our practice act and rules and a summary provided to the board of learnings from that review. I would also like to add a $2,500 civil penalty. My discussion is around, we've done the review of the Practice Act before. I feel like in this situation, we have a lot of concern on how things are being handled and whether technicians are doing more than what they should be doing. And we know that in the case of the vaccinations from testimony, but I think it's something that is more broader than just that needs to be reviewed. So I don't know if there's any other suggestions of how to do that besides reviewing our practice after rules, or if everybody thinks that's okay.
Second.
It's okay.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Let's do roll call on this one.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, finish with that one. And let's go back to our initial investigative reviews. Does everybody finish this one up? Does anyone need a bathroom break right now? So initial investigative reviews, the only remaining one is number 14, 2425 in regards to Laura Briggs, DEM. Tracy, if you could read us the summary on that.
Yes, case 2425, the complainant is Gloria Solario. The respondent is Lauren Griggs, DVM. On July 28, 2023, complainant presented the remains of Lala, an 11-year-old female chihuahua, to respondent's premises for communal cremation. A paw print was also requested, which is provided by the crematory at no charge. On August 4, 2023, complainant called the premises to check to see if the paw print had returned from the crematory. Staff advised that the paw print had not been received, but it should be in soon. Complainant called again a few days later to check to see if the paw print was ready for pickup. Staff advised that a clerical error had occurred and the paw print was not ordered. The hospital manager took over the call. She apologized for the error and offered complainant a remembrance wind chime. Complainant was offended at the offer and requested a refund of the cremation. A refund was provided to complainant for the cremation service. Later that day, complainant arrived at the premises demanding to see the cremation and paw print process. Respondent met with complainant, apologized for the oversight, and gave complainant a tour of their cremation procedure. Complainant wanted the technical staff involved in the clerical error to be terminated.
And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. I just realized that the complaint was not here. Mr. Stoll, Mark?
He was, that's okay, he's left and, yeah, he'll check back later.
Sounds good. And Ms. Frost, you are the lead on this one.
Thank you. This one is very sad because, you know, the request for the special keepsake. However, there was a charge directly tied to the paw print, and they did honor the request of the complaint to refund the cremation fee. They went above and beyond to go through the process and corrections that they were making in the process, and they participated in many forums and great length, the communications here. It's challenging because the respondent did not perform euthanasia, right? It was very much an administrative process for end of life, which I always like to stress is super important because you can't fix it, but mistakes can happen like this, and it's something we've seen before and may see again. I commend their honesty and their transparency, though, in spite of the frustrations that were presented. So with that being said, I make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second to dismiss case 2425 with no violation. Any further discussion?
I only wish we make the dismissal contingent on the veterinary fire in that client.
Okay.
But we can't do that.
Okay. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, and confirming we don't need our court reporter for anything else, or we do? She's up. Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay. And so let's go ahead and, if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and move down to, so section number 5, item number 13. 2454 in regards to Aaron Miracle, DBM, board may review, discuss, and take action on interim order for evaluation and may take action to offer a consent agreement. Thank you both for being here.
Good afternoon.
I'm going to say you don't have anyone assigned to this. I don't know, Victoria, if you have anything or if you should just begin or.
I believe Mr. Lopez could lead on this.
Oh, sorry. You didn't. See it on my notes. All right, take it away.
This is why I didn't.
Are you slacking on your final meeting here?
Well, I didn't have a template. I wasn't sure whether to look at somebody else's CA or which other person's CA to look at to craft something after. But this is a. On our interim order. So we've had the evaluation. So it shows that we do need to come up with a consent agreement or an interim consent agreement. So I guess I'm going to pick one of these. Unless Victoria's got something on the web that I don't know about yet.
So I don't, but I can look for something right now. But typically, you know, the board follows what the evaluator recommends, and he does make a direct outline of what those things should be. The board may want to discuss things on top of that, such as not having access to controlled drugs or supervision of such, that kind of thing.
And also notification to employers of our consent agreement. And probably Victoria, they would write back kind of like some of our others and give kind of a periodic update as far as how
and just the usual things. You know, we have basically the boilerplate
right.
consent consent agreement for this type of...
The 36-month consent agreement, this was the recommendation, random testing.
Yeah.
No, you know, therapy, but no 12-step. And then again, I think we should add in the not having access. I know that your DEA license, I believe you had surrendered it, but we've done that again in other cases, which I think is important. Notifying your employer. I know you're doing, you're still doing relief work mostly, or are you in a specific practice?
No, I'm looking for a specific practice in February that I can notify them.
Okay. So...
Regarding testing, I think we need to add some specifics. We may want to have, at least have the nail tested, because we cannot do and rely on the hair testing with Dr. Miracle.
If I may, Dr. Keene did recommend to Dr. Miracle that she begin a monitoring program at the conclusion of the eval before the report came back. She's already started that, so she can tell you a little bit about what that monitoring program looks for and what they're testing already, because it is exactly the one that Dr. Keene had referred her to, and she knows more about that.
Basically, I check in on a daily basis through an app or their website, and they tell me whether or not I've been randomly selected to submit a sample. We are trying to get it set up to be oral fluid testing, but that's getting supplies has been a little rocky, so the last test that I submitted that I was selected for was at UA.
I do know that the oral fluids testing can be done, and if you need help figuring that out, we can, because we do that with other boards where the licensee just gets a notification, they have testing at home, they spit in and they take it to the lab. So I know it can be done. I actually don't know that that's the total protocol, because as I say it out loud, that probably is not right. But I do know that it can be done and is approved for by other boards for similar kind of, but it can be the saliva as opposed to a urine analysis test.
Okay. But wait, you wouldn't do it. You're saying that you get to do it at your own house and take it in?
That's what I'm familiar with. Okay. That's not the way it has to go.
Okay, because I'm like, then anybody gets to do it.
Exactly.
With this particular program, what happens if I do the oral fluids is I call them, I set up an appointment for a Zoom call, a video call, and then the person on the other end of the video call walks me through step by step, watches me, take the sample. I have to make sure that I'm showing them the correct paperwork, showing them that it's signed and it's packaged correctly, and it's all recorded.
Okay.
And that may be an option. I don't know what monitoring program Dr. Miracle is currently enrolled in, but you know, I would certainly, you know, absent some sort of recommendation from that monitoring program, I would suggest that the board go with something that's more typical.
Right, I'm just thinking more of the, as far as how we get the, because right now, of course, the labs will send us, you know, and if you're having it done in this way over Zoom, it still comes in.
Would we be able to get information to Victoria about the monitorship and then have it be approved or not? And then if you want something different, or Victoria wants something different, we could let her be the gatekeeper.
Madam Chair, members of the board, you may remember that we had a licensee in the past who did go to a similar type of program, and that program agreed to send the board reports on a basis. So will this, do we know if this program would do the same, that they would directly send reports to the board?
I see no reason why that wouldn't happen. I don't know for a fact, but that is typical for them to do that.
And I believe also that if we're thinking about the same case, the PAPA program, yes, there's a signed agreement between the participant and the program. And it lists what their conditions are. And
we would want to see that.
Exactly. We're going to incorporate that, attach it to our order, right?
We're going to do whatever the board wants Dr. Miracle to do. I do just want to make sure that the board knows she's doing the monitoring thing. If we need to switch gears, we will.
No. Yeah.
I'm providing more paperwork in order. They gave me a pretty healthy stack of agreements for over-the-counter medications that I'm not allowed to use, certain herbal supplements that I can no longer ingest, things like poppy seeds, all of that. So there's a bit, it's a pretty long agreement, and I can absolutely provide that.
You had a medical marijuana card, so that was one of Dr. Keen's recommendations, though, was.
Yes, and that's been, I mean, technically it's still active, but I have not used marijuana for a while now. And the latest UA that I submitted through this program was totally negative.
Okay, got it. So obviously the awkward elephant in the room here is how we got to this point. However, like I tell everybody when we're first starting out, you know, we really want to work with you and to move this forward, have a lot of bumps in the road. And, you know, obviously our ultimate goal is to, you know, get you back in a place where you're healthy and where you're safe, obviously for the public and all of that. So please know that we really are here to, you know, to support, if you will. But we really, you know, if you've been here for the rest of the day, just want to really see, you know, the compliance and the smooth just makes it just easier, less uncomfortable. And, you know, I'm sure your attorney has shared with you, we have several of these individuals that we're working with. It's just the, you know, the reality of the world that we live in. So just know that we appreciate kind of open honesty, and things happen, mistakes happen. Just be, you know, as forthcoming as you can. And we promise that, again, our goal is, you know, to see you back, you know, fully functioning in practice. But just understanding where we're at right now, that we need to have some guardrails and safeguards in place. And yeah, as well, just wanna.
Yes. If I may, Madam Chair, your attorney may have been present this morning when we had someone graduate after 5 years of being in probationary status for substance abuse. And that it was wonderful to see what has transpired and the change in her over those 5 years. It really adds to our purpose, a greater purpose for being here. So I.
And your cases are somewhat similar to that as well, just because of the background on them too, so.
I'm sure I found.
Now you ready? Okay.
So for to add, so we offer a consent agreement that includes our standard boilerplate, and then make sure that these points are in there. The respondent consents to the terms and conditions of the order, and a waiver of hearing is accepted. The respondent's license is hereby suspended. However, the suspension is stayed for as long as the respondent remains in compliance with the order. Stay of suspendence, the veterinary's license during the stay of suspension. This respondent's veterinary license is on probation for a minimum 5 years with terms and conditions. And then our standard, if they're not compliant, the stay is lifted. That's the standard. The order becomes effective once the interim consent agreement is signed by the respondent. Signed by the respondent is accepted by the board or designee, which will be Executive Director Victoria Whitmore. State suspension is subject to the following terms and conditions. Drug and alcohol testing, we've already started that. This states random urine, could be broader to say just drug and alcohol, and we can select which one's gonna be most efficient.
Well, I think this is why we're in this difficult part right now, because she signed up to this program, which is great, but we don't right now in this moment know what the program requires of her.
Could we do it similar to how the board has required us to get Dr. Keen approved? Could the language just allow it to be subject to approval, and then we can get you that information? And then whatever you approve is what we'll do.
I like that. Does it make sense though, if the board states what you believe should be the minimum frequency of testing, or something like that. So like if.
Yeah, he didn't provide us with that.
If the program says you get tested once a year, the board wouldn't agree with that. So the board may want to say what you believe the minimums to be, and we'll see how that aligns with what the program requires.
So this minimum, what I'm looking at is twice per month.
That's where I was.
For a minimum of 6 months, at which time the frequency of testing can be brought up for review and or may consider what that frequency should be after that.
And I'm gonna jump into, because of the issues with the hair rate and you probably, again, depends on what they're doing oral, but do you have a standard? You wanna do, you know, observed urine test. I think we've learned now, yes. We need to do observed urine tests or blood. And I'm just not familiar with the oral, yeah. So I would have to research that a little bit.
The program does allow me to choose to just do urine analysis, and so if the board would prefer that I do an observed urine analysis with the program, then I can certainly do that.
When you say observed, you have to go in and
yeah, and someone is like, I go into the lab. That's why I submitted the last sample. I had to go to a lab. That one was not observed because they weren't told they needed to be, but I can certainly change that and have it be an observed sample. It's packaged with a chain of custody form and sent off to the lab.
Not on Zoom.
Thank you.
So some combination. As needed, a nail testing.
As the board.
Yeah, at board's discretion, yeah.
Yeah. And then all the rest of it is standard boilerplate that they read over before they sign it.
You don't want to do
any stray compliance.
Access to control drugs.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going down.
Maybe I haven't got to that part yet.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, there are two things there. We have to notify employer.
Yeah.
We have made mention of those, so.
So no alcohol, participation in AA or NA?
He doesn't see the need for that.
He doesn't see the need
for that. Dr. Keene just said, I do not see a need for.
About relapse prevention counseling, did he have that in there?
Dr. Miracle is currently undergoing counseling, and so she might be able to tell you a little bit more about how regularly she's going, but she does like that provider, and so if there's an opportunity to wrap that in to be monitored and have them provide updates to the board, that would be the preference.
I'm sorry, am I
if the provider is approved by Victoria.
So Dr. Keene recommended 36-month consent agreement, random testing, therapy, no 12-step.
There's therapy. So that would maybe be this relapse prevention counseling?
Strangely enough, he did not specify that.
So if individual therapy, how frequently is Dr. Maribel going?
Once a month.
I think that you could do like individual therapy at a minimum of whatever, if you think once a month is sufficient, or more frequently, as if recommended by the provider, and to continue until the provider provides the board a written statement saying that therapy is no longer necessary.
So I would do weekly or bi-weekly, and then it would have a review
and
process.
And the opportunity to step down.
Yeah, step that action.
Step it down after 6 months?
Yeah.
Probably after whatever the counselor's.
Right.
Well, yes. That's the counselor.
Yes. Okay. Yes, the counselor's recommendation after that. Yes.
So wait, are we saying weekly or bi-weekly?
I threw out both. I'm gonna start with weekly to start. Just because we had a rocky start.
Yeah.
if they're going to miss a meeting, they got, saw something, but they got to do something. If they're going to be out of town, they're going to get notification.
That's for testing.
That's probably not.
Selection of one doctor to be the gatekeeper.
Yeah, primary physician.
Reviews all prescriptions and is informed of all medical care that you receive. And that is also, is that subject to your approval also, Victoria?
Usually, yeah.
And then the reporting, what's that called? We haven't submit with prescriptions?
Oh, PMP.
The pharmacy profile.
Pharmacy profile.
Usually quarterly.
Quarterly.
Notify any employer.
Notify employer, give them a copy of the consent agreement and they.
They have to give.
They have to give them a copy of the consent agreement.
To the employer.
To the employer, and the employer has to notify us that they've read it.
Yes, yes. And to have no access to controlled substances.
No access to controlled substances.
Are we requiring the employer to give us quarterly updates as well, or?
Yes.
Yes.
Short but sweet paragraph.
What if she's not working at one particular place?
Well, but she said that she.
She is now.
She's going, or hoping to come February. She's not working anywhere. She's not doing the relief work anymore. She's hoping to work for one sole practice.
So if working.
In February.
So maybe we'll write it more flexibly because this is a 5-year work.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's full-time working.
One question on the therapy. I know you said weekly. I know you said you're going monthly. Was there a recommendation for weekly, or is that just based off of what we've typically done? And how long do we go weekly before we look at stepping that back? Like, that just seems.
The recommendation of the provider, I would say, we lean heavily on.
Would it be fine if the provider she's using gets submitted to Victoria and gets approved, which is what I think I heard, and they say monthly is what they recommend, are we gonna go with that? Or are we gonna go with weekly until we decide we wanna go monthly? I was just a little confused. Yeah.
So I'd make it flexible and we can follow the recommendation of the professional.
Okay, I like that.
Follow the recommendation of the monitoring professional, the board may increase or decrease as recommended by the medical professional.
At a minimum of once monthly until we decide to change it. Is that, like, if the professional said, I don't need to see him anymore right now, would we?
No.
It has to be a minimum.
Well, that's why I say at the discretion of the board. The board says no. Right. On discretion, so I'm not going to do that. Yeah.
Right. But the board right now is okay with a minimum of once monthly?
Yes.
No.
And then we'll review what the provider recommends for any changes?
You said 12 that was necessary, but I'll see.
We can ask the provider for a treatment plan.
That's what comes to mind for me is that on her first appointment under the agreement, we can ask the provider to give the board some information about whatever the board wants to have more fulsome, not just a, you know, how frequent.
Yes.
And if that would be helpful, we can collect that information.
Yes, so make it flexible. We can change it next month if you need to.
Okay, anything else on?
So what are you recommending right now for the therapy? Once a week or twice a week?
To go to the initial meeting and then provide us with what is recommended.
A treatment plan?
Okay. So just sticking. So currently the 1 month, doing it once a month.
I think that'll work because in reality, by the time that I write this, give it to them, and they sign it, she will have already gone and got the recommendation, right? So that could be tweaked before it ever even gets to them, perhaps.
Okay.
Is there anything else, Tracy or Victoria, that we omitted?
She allowed to work by herself, unsupervised?
Is she allowed to be a responsible veterinarian?
she can't have access to controlled substances, so wouldn't that tend to be a person?
Not necessarily.
I would say no on a responsible veterinarian, and I would say I'm comfortable with her working by herself, provided she doesn't have access to controlled drugs, which means there's certain things that you wouldn't be able to do working by yourself.
Right. Well, she does hold a premises license now.
So she is a responsible veterinarian now.
For a local unit.
But I do use certificates.
Right, so we've done, I mean, we have another one with mobile unit.
Yeah.
Have access.
To Kelly.
Yeah.
So maybe keep it the same. I guess she can be a responsible veterinarian, but still regardless, not have access to controlled drugs.
Unless you just say she can't, she can only be the responsible veterinarian of her own mobile unit.
Right, she only intends to be responsible veterinarian for her own unit. So she wouldn't be using she wouldn't have a practice that incorporates controlled substances because it's her own. She's the only one practicing.
Has that premise license been submitted?
She's had it for a while.
Pardon?
She's had that premise license for a while.
Okay. And is that out of a van or a car?
Can you tell the board a little bit about how your mobile unit operates?
So it's still in reasonably baby stages, but mostly it would be with my vehicle for the purpose of seeing and treating honeybees.
I didn't treat a bee.
I know, it's like us.
So they have to have a veterinary feed directive.
Oh, for the feed, yeah. It's food animal. All right.
Does this board typically include, it sounds like it's offering a consent agreement, does it typically include findings of fact and conclusions of law? Does the board want to specify what those would be?
Those.
We're going to work hard on his final board meeting.
I know. So the
Tracy, you probably have that.
Yes.
Hand, yes.
Yeah. Well, the findings of fact would be probably the investigative division report with the most recent testing results would be added in there.
And the evaluation.
And the evaluation, yeah. By Dr. Keene. Yes. Most recent evaluation and most recent drug test result. And then the
findings of fact.
That would be the findings of fact. The conclusions of law would be ARS 3220232, number 15, I believe. You could also do number 7.
So both of them.
Yes, 7.
Is it just those two, Tracy? Because we have a situation, not only possibly chronic use, like we have.
But 15 would maybe is what you're thinking.
Can you read that quickly?
Distribution of narcotics, dangerous drugs, prescription only drugs, or controlled substances other than legitimate purposes.
Okay.
And then 7 was the chronic.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe 16, violation of or failure to comply with any state or federal laws regarding regulations relating to the storing, labeling, prescribing of, or dispensing of controlled substances or prescription-only drugs, as defined in Section 32-1901. Failing to dispense drugs and devices in compliance with Article 7 of this chapter, that's number 19.
Definitely
7 and 15. Yep. So yes or no on 16?
Yes, it's yes. 7 as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
and
then 19.
Incident, yeah.
You can consider 19. It depends of how you want to go.
I
Okay, so our findings, fact, conclusions, law are going to be the investigative division report and Dr. Kane's report back to us, those two documents.
And the current results of the drug test?
And the current results of that, the drug test as noted in Dr. Kane's report.
Thank you.
So we need a second for that.
That's the findings of fact.
Findings of fact.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second on findings of fact. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Conclusions of law, exactly what Victoria and Tracy just said.
7, 15, 16, 19.
I don't know. It's up to you if you want to include 19 or not. 19 states failing to dispense drugs and devices in compliance with Article 7 of this chapter, but I'm not sure that's necessarily fits.
I don't think it fits.
Okay. Okay. So
7, 15, and 16.
7, 15, and 16.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a motion. Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. And now the consent agreement we just talked about.
Yes.
And that's a voice vote, right?
Yeah,
right.
We don't need to reiterate it, right? Anybody's got it? Okay, so let's vote on the agreement part, and he will do the roll call.
I know there was a motion. Was there a second on the contents of the consent agreement?
Second on what? I'm sorry.
The contents of the consent agreement.
Sorry, you're right.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion the second on the consent agreement. Okay, roll call. Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Jones is an aye. Mr. Lohme?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Aye. Okay, so I think that we're good on that item. So again, thank you both for being here. We'll be seeing a lot of each other. But in the meantime, please work with Victoria if you have any questions.
I do have one question. Sure. Is there a time frame on which we should get she is going to see her therapist probably before the order gets issued. Is there a certain time frame by when you need that first assessment about from the provider?
Probably the sooner the better, so the board staff can have that information.
Okay, yeah, no, we'll get that right as soon. I just want to make sure, because I type A in the calendaring. Okay,
so we'll get 10 days. Okay.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to take a break, folks, or carry on?
Carry on.
Okay. What? Oh, Victoria says break, so.
Okay.
3 more minutes.